Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Cut the music off because we have limited time. Thank you for calling in, John, Ben, and Don. I just have a brief introduction. The hate crime and hate speech are related but not identical topics. A hate crime is a crime that is motivated by bigotry. Hate speech is defined in Black Law's dictionary as speech that carries no meaning other than the expression of hatred for some group, such as a race or in circumstances in which the communication is likely to provoke violence. However, hate speech by itself is not a crime in the U.S. The First Amendment of the Constitution guarantees the right to freedom of speech in the press. There is no hate speech exception in the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. The Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment clarifies that this applies to all states. Nevertheless, the right to freedom of speech is not absolute. The United States Supreme Court has ruled that there are certain types of speech that are not protected by the Constitution. In 1942, in Shapinsky versus New Hampshire, the U.S. Supreme Court summarized the case law. There are certain well-defined and limited classes of speech, the prevention and punishment of which have never been thought to raise any constitutional problem. These include the lewd and obscene, the profane, the libelous, and the insulting or fighting words, those which by their very utterance inflict injury or tend to incite an immediate breach of that peace. Fighting words are furthermore construed to mean words directed at a specific individual in a face-to-face confrontation likely to lead to more violence. Now, I'm going to skip through that. Ben sent me a clip of a new Massachusetts House Bill, number 3719, which would make the word bitch offensive against the law, punishable by crime, in terms of being fined or jailed. With that, I'm going to pull in the host. Good evening, Ben.
Hello.
Good evening, John. And good evening, Don.
Hello.
Now, in this particular episode, you cannot equate the word bitch with HRC. Any other speech is allowed.
Or else what?
You get a $150 fine and 6 months in jail.
You will have to donate $5 into the petty cash of Jane's Blog Talk Radio Show.
Well, I'd like to apologize because I've been such a bitch being, an opponent to all the white people being such criminals and crooks and tearing this American
fabric. And you're not getting
out.
No retribution off of me.
Oh, Lord, I'm
I think it's
since
funny.
Your blog
I think
talk
it's
radio
funny,
dues are 2 years late.
I accept your apology, Don, because I think it's been amusing for me for listening to your trolling, because that's all it is. You're just trolling. You don't really support what your party is doing. You just like
know.
To try to pretend.
No, no, but that's the whole point, is that I'm middle of the road. I believe in laissez-faire, and I've said this many, many times on the show. I believe in laissez-faire government. I believe in the apparent visual of free financial capability.
Adam Smith and economics.
Yes, but my problem is that it's been, and it's from day one, it's been used unfairly. And, it's been used by the people who have the money, and they are in it to make more money, and they'll go at all odds, including against the Constitution, which they do all the time. Everything they're doing, these big corporations, is against the Constitution. And this is why we had to put in all these other amendments in the Constitution, because the original, 10 didn't work. Or weren't satisfactory.
No. The original worked, but 1871 and 1913 really changed what our Constitution means. It basically we're living under rules that they overrode the Constitution with.
Right, but the Constitution didn't include blacks and women in it.
I disagreed with that. From the get-go, and I think the correct interpretation would have been the amendments and allowing all people to have those rights. And I think that's where people went wrong, was the interpretation of the amendments should have applied to everyone, not just specific people.
But it didn't. That's the whole point. It only applied to land. The original 10 only applied to landowners. That's all it applied to. It didn't apply to.
It also applied to quartering British soldiers and things of that nature.
Right. Well, you could. Yes, it did. But that was they were British soldiers. They were.
Well,
what
the Americans didn't want to protect. Okay. Well, let's not get. I can talk about that in a minute. But the core of it was the protections of citizens' rights.
And the only citizens were white landowners. That's the only citizen. White women they sucked.
No, there was black slave owners. So what are you talking about? You have to be a landowner to be a slave owner.
Correct. And that's true. And if
so, that goes against what you just said. Like, if you're a black slave owner, that means you're a black landowner.
But the thing is that you were still a black man and only considered 3/5 of a person.
See, that
okay, the Third
have,
Amendment, I was, what I was talking about beyond the scope of you guys, no soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law, because the British made the former Americans got rid of them, is that they made them quarter the British soldiers and feed them, even though it was against their own interests.
Correct.
And, John,
and
some of the amendments do apply to all citizens. Like, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion. That applies to women. Women were they were members of churches and stuff.
No, they weren't. No, they were members, but they weren't. The head, they weren't the priest, high priestess.
In some Christian Protestant religions, women were the heads of the church even back then.
Actually, my friend, to that point, my friend was married by a female pastor.
Right, and that's now. Back then,
and even the Anabaptists in Europe, and well, maybe not them, but some certain Protestant sects, SECTS, had female leadership. And they also did in biblical times.
Right, but this is we're talking about America and the Constitution back in 1700s.
I think what you're trying to say overall, Don, is that a lot of people got shafted if they weren't white property owners.
A lot of people got shafted all through history. Look at Egypt.
They were constitutionally shafted. And the thing about Egypt, you're talking about the Hebrews who are black, and those are the true Jews from Israel, and the Ashkenazi Jews who are white all over the place, they're not the true Jews.
You know
Jews.
What? The true Jews are a number of people, and only one-tenth of them were black.
And those were the true from Jacob, from the
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but some of them look like Bob Dylan, too. They don't all look like black people.
We're really not going to figure this out tonight. I mean, the truth.
Yeah, we're not going into that, Don. That's a whole different can of worms.
They don't even know who their true prime minister is.
They have really nothing to do with the United States and our hate speech laws.
Well, if you think about it, though, Justin Trudeau, just his party won, right? What did they pop out just a couple weeks ago? He was in blackface, or now
right.
He calls it brownface. If Donald Trump had done this, you think about the outrage. Trudeau has done it. Their careers are destroyed by doing something like that. He wins. Isn't that an amazing thing?
That's Canada.
Yeah.
You can do that in Canada. You can do a lot of things in Canada.
They talked about that, John, on NPR tonight. What is that blackface thing?
Well, he went out to a few parties. And, you know, I have to say, if you're going to show up as a black person or as a, Arabian guy, you got to put on some paint. I mean, it's just like if I'm going to if a African American male is going to show up as a white man, as Donald Trump, he's going to have an orange wig and white skin. If that's the theme, if that's the party, if that's what he's going to do. So, considering the 80s, I mean, I wouldn't do it myself, but that's the whole point. If you're going to dress up as a cowboy, you would dress up as a cowboy. You wouldn't dress up as an Indian. So I kind of don't see the full point of it.
I think that outrage, if it's going to be outrage at all, which I think being outraged over somebody's costume is ridiculous, but where the outrage should be is the hypocrisy. If their side does it, it's no big deal. If the other side does it, they'll never hear the end of it.
But
they always have to politicize everything, don't they?
Everything is politicized, Jane. Quit accusing me of politicizing political
shit.
No,
I didn't mean you. I meant society has to politicize everything.
Well, yeah, everything
like,
is.
Who cares if Justin Trudeau wore a black painted costume to a party?
It's because
nobody
the media
in Canada
has
does.
Its job.
Nobody in Canada does. It's only us Americans who care about something like that. And it's only
Canada outrages. They get outraged up there. They got liberals. They got conservatives up there. They just lost a lot of seats. Now Trudeau has a government that doesn't want to work with him.
That's what I heard on the news. There's a word for it, like a proportional representative government. He only got
right,
one-third of the mandate, and he doesn't have
nothing.
A clear consensus.
The one-third is him. The one-third is him now. And if you heard his speech.
I know, but he still doesn't have a clear consensus.
He doesn't care.
Good Lord. Do you have to argue with everything, Don?
Yes, because you're wrong. Dang, you're so wrong all the
you
time.
Know what? You haven't donated a nickel, so your voice don't count.
Uh-oh. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Pay
don't,
for play.
I'm going to beat your black ass when I get to Reno.
There you go. See that quick
you'll like it.
I got to give up money.
I'm a Gentile, and I'll beat your ass. Is that
right.
Your speech?
So there you go.
Put another quarter in the speech machine.
But Trudeau, No, Trudeau came out and he said he was very grateful that he was in the position that he's in, and he'll do whatever he can to work with all of the parties. That's what he said in his speech, his congrats, his acceptance speech. So he is, he doesn't care. He's okay with it.
Well, John, I mean, Don, why don't you try bleaching your skin and see how Pat likes it?
Pat, oh, no, she'd hate it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. A black woman with a white man, she'd be, like, embarrassed. Oh, my God, put that thing away. Don't show anybody.
Okay,
well,
somebody please take control of the show. I feel like I've lost
it. There's another story to it, and that is Nancy Pelosi has not brought up the USMCA for vote. It's sitting there. It's a deal that both sides want. It would give jobs. It would open up trade. It would be a big, nice bow in Donald Trump's, re-election campaign. And she will not discuss it. And part of the reason she was holding off, she wanted to see if Trudeau was going to make it or not, because the deal was with Trudeau. And so now she's kind of forced, like, okay, what do I do? Do I go with this thing, or do I just hold it all up and wait till the election and show how much that they cannot get accomplished, the do-nothing party? Now, another interesting story is that is man's best friend is a dog, or at least that's what people think. In movies, if you can kill all the people you want, if you kill a dog in a movie, it's the end of it. In fact, there's several movies. One was the superhero one, Kick-Ass. And in the sequel,
yes.
Jim Carrey's character, who played kind of an American commando kind of guy, had a dog. And they basically, the dog was supposed to get killed, and they wouldn't show it on the movie because they knew that that people would go totally crazy. And so basically they deleted that scene from it. But the interesting thing is that it would be an insult to the canine community to consider Hillary Clinton a female dog, because she's not man's best friend. And so that's why, I am not going to, call her that word.
I can't believe you've gone through this big of an analogy.
Yes, I refuse to lower the canine community by that.
Right.
It's insulting.
So are you going to call her Hillary the chipmunk?
No, I would. It's also an affront to the dog community, because women are probably...
Did you get cut off, Don? Okay, someone else talk. Hello?
I'm here.
Ben's here, Jane's here, John, can you talk? Okay,
yeah,
it
looks like we took out Don. The deep state took out Don.
I'm
the
here.
New hate speech law took out Don.
I think he's here.
I took myself out.
We got all.
Don, half
we got
the
all
time you refer. Don, sometimes you refer to women close to your center of intimacy as the B word.
Yeah, of course. That's a term of endearment, just like in the inner city community.
It's a term of endearment, baby. Tell you what.
Don't make it loftier than it is.
And they love
it. That's pretty lofty.
It's a sign of possession and love.
No, it's not.
Have you ever heard
the
quote, I have PMS in a gun? Any questions?
I would believe you, Don, if you said it was a term of alpha posturing. And if
that's,
you found yourself a woman that appreciated alpha posturing, then I would believe it. Some women like to be called that because they like to be with an alpha with the good and the bad that comes with
that's
it.
What I was,
they like to get slapped around if they say something.
That's what I was just saying, a term of a possession. And they love to be
some
in
people,
possession. That's
some
just,
people are into that.
Right.
Do you guys remember that song? I'm
yeah,
a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a child,
oh,
I'm a mother.
Oh, please don't, Hank. We don't have time for that.
Yeah. And people
Eat
like
rocks,
Epstein.
Eat rocks, it's my show.
People like Epstein and Goldstein and Weinstein and all those things and you know.
You were just
the men,
promoting the Jews and now you're knocking the Jews.
I'm the Ashkenazis, but not the Hebrews. That's the whole point. There are different.
If you diss Bob Dylan, you're getting muted.
Bob Dylan, yeah, he was a guy.
Maybe Bernie Sanders is the next Messiah.
He might be. If he claims
wow.
he's Hebrew.
Good. You guys, somebody has to take control of this show.
It's John's show. Where's he at?
Oh, I'm like the Titanic. I'm the musician that keeps playing as the ship is sinking. I'm enjoying it, actually.
John's rearranging his Tupperware in the kitchen. John, maybe I should should I play your clip? Sorry, off of YouTube.
I wanted to say something.
Go ahead, Ben.
The last few years, I guess since Trump, the Democrat Party seems to be imagine a scenario where you have to survive. And there's people that will – there's doers and there's receivers and there's complainers. So there's – you know, if you have a group of people that need to survive, and then you've got only like three people that have the ability and the knowledge and the balls to go out and hunt for food and bring it back to the people that need to eat. And you've got people who will be, show gratitude for it, but they don't have the ability to go get it. So they'll be grateful for what the people bring back. And then you have the people that will complain about the methods. Like if three men go out and hunt and they bring back three deer, there'll be people that will be grateful for it. And then there will be people that will complain and say, why did you have to kill those deer even though they need to eat? That's what the Democrat Party has been doing. They've been doing nothing but complaining for years. And
the way
the things
I
that they
see it
want
is
to that do are completely nonsense.
I think no matter how Donald Trump won in 2016, I feel like they have to fortify their defense. And we have Bernie Sanders, who hasn't changed his message one. He hasn't even modified it one sentence since 4 years ago. Then we have Elizabeth Warren, who's trying to upgrade the message and think of innovative ways to approach problems. And then we have a battery of other people who are putting their two cents in, including, I believe Kamala Harris is pretty creative and I would say original in her statements. But overall,
when I hear them argue,
let me finish. I understand what your morality tale is that, like, they're trying to bring back what your imagery of the hunting and gathering and then bringing in the proper tools to rectify the party, but it's being dragged down by certain members. Like, up here in Minnesota, it's kind of different region by region, but there's stronghold Democrats here who will be Democrats to their grave. They don't question it. They just vote that party, whether they have opposing views within, like, abortion or not. And then there's the people who are looking for real, honest change and trying to really look for positive strategies to tackle issues. And then there's just people that go along with the flow. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, well, okay, you would call those people eaters. They have no opinion. They just consume. They consume
right.
what's provided to them. And they have no real pull. They have no power. They have no value. They just consume. Like, if there's any extra food, they'll eat it. And they don't have an opinion whether or not you did a good thing or a bad thing by killing an animal and providing them some food. But they didn't lift a finger to do anything to feed themselves, and they would probably be upset if you allowed them to starve to death. Those are the kind of people you're explaining to me right now.
And the media is kind of like
value.
The generic brand. Because
if
the
you
media...
don't have an opinion, if you don't disagree with something, you have no value. What good are you if all you do is vote, even if you disagree with what you vote for? What good
are
you?
Also and the other factor is these debates started 4 to 6 months ago, and it's not really improving the message. It's more like watering things down. I mean, the only good thing that comes out of it is you might see a few candidates like Pete Buttigieg, who has really interesting things to say. But other than that, besides, it's really – they started the debates too early because we're still over a year away from the election.
Well, you have to keep in mind, look at the last election. Trump started out, I don't know, maybe at 5% or 8%, 9%. I remember when he announced, and I mean, I casually heard his name, and I was thinking, you know, I thought, oh, this is a novelty. You know, it's like Chris Rock run for office, you know, or you know, some comedian, you know, Johnny Carson running for being president. It was just like a novelty, right? Because I didn't know his backstory. And then he kind of jumped up to like about 19, you know, 19-20%, and he immediately jumped in that top eight. He just week by week he was just picking people off left and right. You know, they just kept falling to the side, and he'd pick them out. You know, Rubio, Cruz, and all these different guys. Jeb
Bush.
Right, Margo, and he would just, you know, one by one, you could just see him. He'd even point him out on stage. It's like, you know, you're weak, you know, you're low energy, you're whatever, and the strategy worked. Now, with the, I've never seen where someone who has 10% of the party vote goes anywhere. I mean, all they are is basically they're going to influence things. Where later down the line, they'll say, I've got my 5 or 10% people. And, you know, if you need to agree with me on abortion or on welfare or whatever. So it's more
of
a power
here,
play.
Yeah, we're here, Ben.
So it's kind of that whole, I think, well, half of these people, I mean, how is someone going to jump from 2% on up? I mean, you've got to get into that 15 to 20%, and you have to be picking people off left and right. And when someone goes down, you got to be ready to jump in there. And none of these lower-level people, I mean, you're talking 1 or 2%. I mean, how are you going to make
any
traction
with that? Well, that's why I think, like, people with good moral character, like Amy Klobuchar, she can have all the goodwill in the world, but she's never going to rise above 4%. Now, maybe Tulsi Gabbard tried to get her percentage in by picking a fight with Hillary Clinton. But I don't know. It just seems like people with, like, Jimmy Carter and his salt of the earth values really wouldn't have any impact anymore. Unless
you
got money behind you.
There's no Kennedy Democrats left. They're getting pushed out the sides. Now all you have is straight up Marxism.
You'd have to have like someone major go down, and then someone who's similar to them or who can pull their base. So example, Biden, I think here's a big problem. Most people that I talk to, they have no idea. They just see what CNN puts out and these other places, and they all I hear, I understand it because I look at Yahoo News, I look at AOL, and I read the stuff, and I do research, so I know the backstory. But if you don't know the backstory, like, oh, Trump is teetering, oh, this is the end, it's so bad, it's terrible, it's confusion, there's no way out, you know, the screws are tightening. I mean, just I can pull any article right now, I can go on the computer, pull it up. It's all just disaster for Trump. And the point is, that's what they read. I started talking about Ukraine. I said, do you know that, like, all these major people have sons that are invested in Ukraine? And, like, what are you talking about? Yeah, Paul Pelosi. You didn't know that Kerry's son is, like, Ukraine? You didn't know that the server is in Ukraine? You don't know about the investigations? What investigations? I said, you know, you sounded like Robert Mueller. What's Fusion GPS? You're in charge of the investigation. They started it. Do you know about the Chalupa sisters? They're in the Ukraine. Well, it's about the Chalupa. They started the whole story, paid by the DNC. And you just go down. I can go point by point. People have no idea what's going on.
And the person I know about that who's been talking about the Chalupa sisters for the longest is Lee Stranahan. He doesn't have enough people listening to him for it to make an impact. He's talking about this all by himself. And now it's becoming a thing. Like, finally, now it's becoming a thing.
Who are the Chalupa sisters?
Well, there's Iris, there's Alex, there's Adriana, and they worked... they were on a group called the Atlantic Council, and the Atlantic Council on that board was a man who was in charge of CrowdStrike. Ooh, CrowdStrike.
I know what that is.
Yes, and they were in charge of Hillary's server, and they were the ones, the FBI didn't investigate it. No, the FBI gave the server to CrowdStrike and say, hey, tell us what you think. Now think about that. You have a bank robbery, and the FBI comes up and says, hey, security guard, do an investigation on this and let us know what you come up with, and we'll go by it. You know, hey, we haven't looked at the server. We don't know what's on it. But CrowdStrike, who is paid by Hillary Clinton, they say there was nothing wrong on it. And something I'd pointed out earlier.
That's like giving the server to the security guard if the bank robbery was an inside job.
Yes, and on top of that, something I sent out to you guys this week, Joseph Mifsud, he talked to Papadopoulos, and Alexander Downer told Papadopoulos, hey, you know, there's this Russian stuff on Hillary. He told him that in May of 2016. CrowdStrike didn't reach the conclusion until June, a month later, about Russian collusion. How did Downer know about this? How could he have possibly come up with a conclusion when the persons investigating it, who had the server, didn't even have that conclusion? The point is, people have no idea about this stuff going on. So the Chalupas, they were there's emails from the Podestas saying, we got the sisters working on it. We got the Chalupas working on this. They paid them. They paid Alex as a soccer mom. They paid her $70,000 part-time work to come up with a story about the Russians in Ukraine. And that's where she said, I can come up with something for you. The original problem was corruption in Ukraine. It wasn't the Russians at all. But she said, I can come up with stuff. And that's when she started feeding the whole line to Fusion GPS. And that went to the Oars with Bruce and Nellie. Nellie was on the inside of Fusion GPS giving Steele's dossier. And the rest we'll all find out about. But the point is, this is going to take out Biden when this all starts to hit with all the Ukraine stuff. It's going to hit Pelosi. That's why they're fighting. That's why... they want to impeach, but they won't vote on it because they know they won't.
The thing about Pelosi is, like, her brother just passed away, and she's flying around going to Jordan and other places. What the hell is Pelosi doing in her position of power?
She's covering the tracks in Syria. She's got to go to Syria and check and make sure that the stories are tight, that no information's coming out because they're involved with the –
I think she's going to Saudi Arabia, too.
Yes. In fact, remember when Biden, Joe Biden's son, remember when he said in the interview with George Stephanopoulos, who was buddy with Epstein, but he said, with ABC, and Stephanopoulos is with ABC also, but the lady interviewing him, he said, like, this is like Alice in Wonderland. and he said Trump is like this Cheshire cat. He was speaking code. Who is Alice in Bloody Wonderland? That was Hillary Clinton's tag name. That's what come the emails from WikiLeaks was all about. Dear Alice, and Mad Hatter was one of the people she was working with in her in
I
the
idea. Her code name was Evergreen.
But the correspondence when they would talk to each other, she was Alice, and so that's why she went to Saudi Arabia. Remember, she put on her little hijab and her scarf and her little Muslim garb, and that's what Kate Middleton from England just did recently. She put on the hijab and go out there and do the dance. The point is, Hillary's knee deep in this stuff with Bloody Wonderland, and that's where you're going to see the trafficking. You can see the sex trade, human trafficking to Saudi Arabia, human rights violations, as well as Haiti. And that's why Hunter was sending out the message, hey, it's like this is Alice in Wonderland. Like, get my back on this. The Cheshire Cat is after me and exposing. And that's why all the money, you know, you're talking $1.5 billion with China. You're talking millions and millions with Burisma. It's damning. I mean, there's no way around it. It just, you know, the trail leads to the, and the problem is, who approved all this? Obama. Obama picked Hillary. Obama picked Biden. And this is what's being covered up. And so that's what you'll see in the next. You know, I think it's going to be a cliffhanger. I think the next 3 to 6 months, they're just going to slowly let this stuff out. But Durham, they say they're going to drop it in the next month. You know, the 18th was originally, they backed it up. So now it's going to go another week or two.
See, I didn't know about some of this stuff, the code names of Alice and Evergreen and all that crap, because this stuff is so janky and so devilish, you know. It's Illuminati,
that's Don. That's why you got to pay attention. That's why I get so frustrated with you when you get so wrapped up into nonsense.
Who, me? Because my nonsense is
you do the socialism tango. You do the Marxism tango. With all this nonsense about individual, like, victimhood, victimhood, that's why I get so frustrated.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't, because I'm talking about groups. I'm talking about individuals propagating travesties on entire groups of people. I'm not talking about any, and these individuals are all crooks and criminals. Alice in Wonderland,
but if you understood
Cat,
the motives,
they should be in jail.
If you understood the motives behind Marxism, you would understand why I get frustrated about it.
But
well,
there's no
Hillary
Marxism. I'm not looking for a single dictatorship, and I'm not looking for a pluralistic leader model. I'm looking for just the ability for everybody to be free and happy, have a government that works for them, a three-pronged government with the House of Representatives, the Senate, and the executive branch as an equal not entity, but just governmental model, if you will. That's what I'm looking for, the constitutional way that it's supposed to be, supposed to have been written, not where it was written, where people are two-thirds of a human being, where women are completely left out, castigated, and everybody else has to either be a landowner or be someone who is in government
Women are more empowered than they've ever been, and so are minorities.
But that
minority is also losing its value as a word
that's because we're synthesizing the white women are understanding who the real men are, and that's the black men. This is something that
people
there
you
are
go.
Finally.
There you go again. There you go again. Trying to single people out, trying to divide.
Let's elevate
races.
The conversation a little. We only have 5 minutes left.
Okay. Well, let's elevate the conversation. I'm not being individualistic. That's what I definitely know. This is a system of a whole, and if we're going to abide by the Constitution, then we should definitely abide by our Constitution, and we shouldn't have a 1%, 30% of 1%ers owning 96% of all the wealth in the country. That's not constitutionally moral.
I think, though, it's going to be really hard to avoid that because you're just always going to have alpha dog. This is just the history of the world. You're going to have a ruling class, no matter what you call it, and you're going to have the
But you can have a ruling class. You can have a ruling class. You just don't have to have an overwhelmingly overburdensome ruling class.
What makes America different? Or used to make it different is that you had a middle class, and that's something other countries don't have. But the other thing beyond it is that you always have a ruling class, but you had the chance to jump. Like you could be a LeBron James and, you know, one day be a poor family, the next day, you know, be making billion-dollar deals with China. But the point is you have that freedom. In the caste system or in the old system, like say you're born in the, you know, royal bloodline, that was it. Like, okay, you're not royalty. You can't possibly jump. America gave us a chance. If you have this pipe dream, and you could elevate yourself. But what you'll see is still there. Am I in?
Yeah, you're here.
Okay.
Yeah,
what I was going to say is that with America, we're losing that, and you're seeing this information that's coming out. You're going to see this two-tier system, like. In the case of Manafort, the Podestas actually got a couple million from Paul Manafort. Manafort was doing the same thing they were doing. They were agents for Ukraine, and they were taking money and influencing their government.
That's what I'm talking about.
And getting favors from the American government. Except no one's ever heard a word about the Podestas. No one's ever been. No crimes have been charged. No indictments. Nothing. Same thing with Joseph Mifsud, who started everything. He was accused of lying several times. He was brought in by the FBI and interrogated. Yet he never got arrested. Now all these other Russians who aren't in our country, who they can never get to, who are mentioned in these indictments. Well, they got written up, as well as, of course, Papadopoulos, Manafort, Flynn, everyone in the whole circle of Trump. But everyone in the circle of Hillary would not touch. And same thing with all of her people around her were given immunity. Now, immunity is a strange cat because you give immunity in exchange. Like if you're – say you got the gun in your hand, they say, listen, you're guilty, but – you're tied to the ringleader, and we want the ringleader. So if you plead, we'll give you immunity. Now, what happened in this case is people were given immunity before charges. Like there was nothing to leverage. Like, okay, you know, you're linked to Hillary, you're linked to Obama, you're linked to Loretta Lynn, Susan Rice, so forth. We'll give you immunity. Just, you know, you're the server guy, you're the IT guy. And there's no leverage. It's like these guys have a free walk and they can keep their mouth shut. So you're going to see this exposure. People are going to start going, who is this Podesta stuff? What is Spirit Cooking? What is Epstein's? You know, what is the Uma Abedin and Wiener's laptop? And this is going to be. It has to be done slowly because right now, like none of you know, have. I talked to Jane and you know Don and everyone else. And they're educated, smart people who follow politics, and they argue with me. What are you going to do with the ignorant American who knows nothing of this stuff? They don't even care. All they care about is the NBA on and, you know, something with China and Hong Kong. So this is a slow process. The patriots have to slowly drip drop this stuff until you finally, just like Russian collusion, it gets hit over and over till you start believing it. And that's the process right now.
Well, all I want to
it ain't gonna happen.
I think people are dug in.
I
want it all
to
drop.
All I want to ask Ben and John is, what do you think about the fact that Trump was a lifelong Democrat until he knew about 20 years ago that when he was going to run,